Grace to you and peace from the one who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Jeremiah says, "The days are surely coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And the Lord says it will not be like the old covenant that I made with their ancestors. It will be new. And I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And they will be my God. I will be their God, and they will be my people. The days are surely coming." Well, what days are they that are coming? That would be my question. What days, Jeremiah, what days, God, are coming for us, for our faith, and for our church? I bet 479 years ago, folks at the Vatican and throughout the church were asking exactly that question. What days are coming to us in the face of these radical changes in both our institution and in our faith? What will it look like in the future? Will we even be around? Well, 470 some odd years ago, they asked those questions, and it turns out we're still asking those questions. The days are surely coming, but we're not sure what they will look like. This last week, we installed our new bishop, and I can tell you that it is clear to me that new days are coming. And I know this because at the beginning of the service, our new bishop, Bishop Andrew Taylor, sometimes known as the new sheriff in town, Andy Taylor, said to us, "This service will take 1 hour and 30 minutes. And I'm looking around the room of some 180 pastors thinking, "I don't think so." Because we're used to 2.5 hour services. It's just kind of what's developed over the years. And we all gathered in this beautiful space at Hope Lutheran in Palm Desert. And we sang and we listened and we prayed and we installed. And Bishop Eaton preached a powerful service. And at the last amen, collectively, the entire place looked at their watches. 1 hour, 33 minutes. Surely a new day has come. Also, as part of that time together, we had a theological conference in which we looked at the once and future church. What will it look like, and what does it look like today to be the church in light of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation? And Jim Hazelwood, who is a bishop in the Northeast, did what I've heard so many times. He talked about what's happening in the church these days, and he said, of course, what we already know, that Christendom is dead. So as a sign of that, everyone under 30 got on their phone and Googled Christendom. What is Christendom, right? I mean, it's the institutional church as has existed for the last 2,000 years as part of a political structure, part of an economic structure. Christendom is dead, he said. And how do we know that it's dead? Well, because people are beginning to do other things than church. Like we didn't know. Thanks, Jim. But he also said, you know, one of the things that has been our paradigm as the church, especially in the 20th century, is to be the church of the ABCs. Anybody ever heard that before? I thought it was lovely. ABCs, we ourselves by way of attendance, buildings, and cash. A, B, C. So smart aleck Pastor Don Johnson holds up our LCH news, and what's the very last thing? Attendance and cash. Convicted! And so he described what's happening. Kelly Fryer used to talk about butts and pews. That's how we count, right? And so Jim was just sort of laying out this idea that in this upcoming new thing that God is doing, it's going to look very, very different. And he talked about the growth, for instance, of the house church, which everyone thinks is new, but it turns out that's how the Christian church started in the first place. And so house churches are huge now, where people gather who like each other and are much the same. And they gather in homes to do worship. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then there's new cutting-edge emerging ministries, like, for instance, what's happening at The Table in Los Angeles that Jeannie and I help support. Friend Greg, an intern of this congregation, gathers together with young people. They meet on Sunday morning. They have a short worship service together. And then they spend the next hour and a half eating and talking about Scripture and their lives. And then sometimes heading out to do some service as well. And then other kinds of emerging ministries. But all of this is a way to talk about, according to Bishop Hazelwood, how all of this stuff and our national church structure is on its way out. There's even a movement which has its own hashtag. Hashtag decolonize Lutheranism. Look it up. It's interesting. So I went back to my room and I sat down with Greg, who is involved in all of these kinds of emerging ministries, and we talked for hours, night after night. And I found myself getting madder and madder. Because it occurred to me, because I've been through the whole decolonized Lutheranism thing, I've been through all of these kinds of emerging ministries, I've listened to over and over again people like Jim Hazelwood talk about the destruction of the national church, and then I asked myself, so, when Haiti has an earthquake, who's going to send them money? The house churches? I don't think so. And then I asked, so this is the riff that Greg and I began to get on. And I said, who's going to train pastors if we decide we want them? Because apparently we may not. Because you know what? Who supports the pastors? Oh, that would be the national church structure. Okay, we can let that go because who really needs a pastor anyway? But what if, Olivia, you want to adopt a child in North Dakota? You have one choice, Lutheran Social Services. Lutheran Social Services touches one out of every 25 people in the U.S. through addiction therapy, through counseling, through home placement, through retirement services, through adoption. Guess what happens to Lutheran Social Services if we just blow this all up? So what I've never heard is people talk about what happens when you deconstruct this thing you hate so much, this evil church. Well, we'll leave it to others. Others will fill in the gap. Well, you know, call me crazy, but the federal government's been saying that for 40 years. We're going to stop doing these things because who's going to pick it up? The churches. I think the days are surely coming when God is doing a new thing. And I am excited about house churches, and I am excited about emerging ministries. Those are all wonderful things. But they do nothing. They do nothing to help the poor or the destitute or those who are most in need, the very people who Jesus calls us to serve. If you were coming to LCH for the first time today, you would look around and go, this may be the most traditional of Lutheran churches in the world. More people sitting on one side than on the other side. Something wrong lately with this section. Not sure what the deal is, right? And we're singing and we're doing all this old music and we're doing all this other stuff. But you would not know, right, what's at the heart of the congregation, which is a passion for justice. That 20-some-odd years ago, we made a decision to be welcoming to gay, lesbian, and transgender people before any of the other Lutherans wanted to do it. And we lived it out, and we continue to live it out. God is doing a new thing. What I've considered is this. What if we can do both? How does the table, this wonderful, powerful new ministry that Greg Ronning is doing, exist? Well, it's because of you. If we want to start new churches and house churches, let's start them from here and support them from here. Let's spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, not by dismantling what is, some of which, of course, needs to be dismantled and thrown away, but to grow out of our strengths in this new reformation. To be who God is calling us to be, because the days are surely coming where God will write God's love on our hearts. See, this covenant of truth to which we have been called, this covenant of truth and freedom, is ours in God's gift. When God says the days are surely coming when I will do these things, when in the Gospel of John we hear about this, the truth, you will hear the truth and the truth will make you free. Well, the place where truth and freedom come together is in grace. And that's what the Reformation was about. Luther had grown up with a God who he expected to be only considered with righteousness and sin. But what he found when he found Jesus was a God of love. That was the new thing that God is doing. So how will we be in these once and future days? To what will we be called in this new reformation? How will we become the church that God is calling us to be? This summer, we spent some time thinking about how that might be, right? And we got really concerned about things, right, like every church does, because we can't help it. We're Lutheran, and we get into patterns, and we worry more about, now, should we do ministry that's directed in, or should we do ministry that's directed out? In or out? We feel guilty about doing the things that are directed in, and then we feel powerless to do the things that are directed out. So what did we come up with as our two main things that we want to work on? Do you remember? Say it. Come on, O leader.
Stephen's minister.
Wonderful program. What's the other thing? Polo shirts. Sweet Jesus in the morning. God is doing a new thing. We're going to do Stephen's ministry and... Hello, sure. I'm poking fun. We're also going to do community, which is really fun. But it turns out that is doing what we've already been doing. We're just going to do it better. But I don't think anymore after reading these texts that it's about ministry that's directed in or directed out. It's about ministry directed God. Who is where? In and out. That's our calling. How do we share this gift? We pass it on in love. So one of the things I'm just going to say, because I'm going to take a risk, I think we have to have an intern. Because it occurred to me that if we want to share this gift that God has given us, we got to pass it on. So I sat with Derek. Do you remember Derek? You know, Greg was an intern here. Derek was an intern at St. John. Derek, who, by the way, is annoyingly beautiful and young and smart. All the things I hate. Derek is the pastor at Hope Lutheran in Palm Desert. He's like the honcho, right? He's in his, I don't know, sixth, seventh year of ministry. And he sat down and he said, I want to thank you. And I said, thank me for what? And he sat down with Stephen and I said, I want to thank you for my internship. I could not be who I am had you not passed on the faith. So God is up to something. God is doing something, and the days are surely coming where we will be a witness, where this congregation has an opportunity to live out its reforming life by passing on the faith, giving of itself to plant new churches, to help churches who are around us to live out their baptismal vocation in God. For the days are surely coming when God will write God's love on our hearts. Amen. I wasn't supposed to say that. We also had Barbara Lundblad with us. She's a preaching professor who's been around for about just after St. Paul. And she said, Barbara said, never say the amen, an amen at the end of the sermon, because an amen is what pastors say when they can't think of an ending. Let's sing our hymn of the day.